Hello and welcome to the Prospect Blueprint. I'm Kelly Kleinman. Well, you know, every summer, college ball players are afforded an opportunity to develop by playing in any one of a number of summer baseball leagues. Not all leagues are built the same. The Cape Cod League is the holy grail of summer leagues, whereby top prospects gather to compete for next level opportunities. But that doesn't mean that all of the top ball players are all at the Cape. Many can count their lucky stars if they find their way onto the Boca Raton Blazers, Delray Beach Lightning, Palm Beach Blazers, Fort Lauderdale Knights, or any one of the 10 clubs in the South Florida Collegiate Baseball League. Today's guest is Vincent Farfalia, commissioner of one of my favorite summer leagues. Vincent, thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Pleasure to have you. Now, you grew up in New York and had a great college career playing ball. And then in 2007, you founded the South Florida Collegiate Baseball League. Briefly take us through that journey from college player to being the founder of this terrific summer league. And by the way, for folks across the country who have never been to Florida, it is, as you mentioned earlier in a conversation, the sixth borough of New York. Whenever we went on spring vacation to Fort Lauderdale, we were there with 80% New Yorkers. We had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the sixth borough down here. You know, as a high school player, the goal was always to get down south to play college ball. You know, I played at Polk State Junior College in Winter Haven, Florida, and I played at Francis Marion University in South Carolina. And I had a great college career, which, you know, included being named Offensive Player of the Year my sophomore year. And then also being able to share the field and actually being roommates with J.D. Martinez from the Red Sox. One of my very good friends, Miles Michaelis with the Cardinals, and Mike Fiers with the Athletics as of late. Those are all teammates of mine. And, you know, college baseball has a pretty cool network. It's a very small community once you get to that elite level. And I was blessed to be able to play with some of the best in the major leagues right now. Now, going forward to the South Florida Collegiate League is, you know, in South Florida in general, summer collegiate ball was non-existent. It was something that I saw as an opportunity to be able to put this in place in South Florida and attract some of the best players from over the country to South Florida, and then also retain some of the best players in the country that are local here. You know, if you look at our rosters, the majority of the support that we get is from the Conference USA, SEC, ACC, and Atlantic Sun. And most of the players in the league, you'll see a lot of guys from Florida Atlantic University, Florida Gulf Coast, the University of Miami, the University of Florida. And then also, you know, we get guys from out your way as well. You know, we're attracting players from Stanford, UC Davis, University of Nevada, and the University of Southern California. So I saw an opportunity to create something that I would have wanted as a player. I played in two summer collegiate leagues myself during my college career, and there were flaws, even though those were some of the best summers of my life, but there were situations and things that I would have wanted as a player that I basically instilled into this summer collegiate league, the South Florida League. Such aspects that I included here were a nutrition program, were a strength and conditioning program, where as when I played, it was really you were pretty much on your own doing these type of things. And if you didn't have the direction at the college program that you were at, then you really were kind of out of luck and really had to come up with your own program. So here in the South Florida Collegiate League, it's a standard that our players go through a strength and conditioning program, have a nutrition staff, have medical staff in place. It's really like a professional experience at the college level and something that you kind of would get like if you were in the Gulf Coast League in the lower level of the minor leagues.
Yeah. Summarize the season that just ended. Was it better than expected due to this whole COVID situation? And what was the housing like? What was that situation like?
So we actually played a full season during 2020, which was the height of COVID. Now, that was insane. We were the first college or professional organization in the world to play a game. So it was taking a leap of faith. The times that we went through were unprecedented, and we took a complete leap of faith to deliver a product for the kids. Now, everything was virtually the same as it was this year, 2020 to 2021. Some of the restrictions, such as wearing masks and social distancing, were different from 2020 to 2021. But overall, I believe between both years, we only had 4 to 6 cases of COVID throughout the league. And they were mild cases. They were actually, even some of the cases, the kids didn't even know that they had it, just because we went under the testing protocols. Someone had been in contact with somebody who had it. And really giving these kids the opportunity to get out there on the field after a lot of their seasons were canceled was rewarding, not only for us, but it was important for their mental health as well. You know, me as a player, I could never imagine going through something like this. I'd be going crazy, because I loved being around the game and I loved being on the field. So when something that you're passionate about and something that you're trying to do for a living is taken away from you because of something that's almost out of a sci-fi movie, is really mentally straining. So really, I think the opportunity for these guys to get on the field and the opportunity to compete was so important for their mental health and for their careers as well. And the draft proved so this year. You know, we had guys that played here in the 2020 season that were seen and scouted over that summer and didn't get an opportunity to get seen in their most important draft years. Guys like Mason Black, who went in the 3rd round, guys like Caleb Roberts from the University of North Carolina, he went in the 5th round. Christian Scott from the University of Florida, he pitched with Delray Beach and was teammates with Caleb. He went in the 5th round. You know, those were guys that were consistently scouted throughout that summer 2020 season and had the opportunity to be seen. Now, 2021 was virtually the same. And as I mentioned, some of the restrictions were lessened a little bit. And COVID was really a non-factor in Florida throughout the entire summer. And then towards the end of July, when our season ends, it's like things went bananas again here. And the cases started going crazy. So we were really lucky to be able to get our season in through the timing was perfect. We're just very fortunate.
Yeah, everybody was very fortunate to play. I have twins going to Santa Clara, and we were originally designated for the Hamptons, and that got sidetracked. And we kept asking, well, what's going to happen as far as summer is concerned? And it became apparent that I had to hustle something up myself real quick for him. So we went over and played with the Palm Springs Power. And in the desert, you know, COVID is virtually non-existent. I'm sure they have some cases there, but we didn't have that experience. But I know that you guys in Florida were still playing. You were, yeah, like you said, you were maybe the only league that was actually still playing. And this year, several were actually canceled, which is, you know, a testament to you and your dedication to the players, because so many kids were redshirted, didn't get to play during the course of the regular season because they honored grad students and seniors for an extra year, which we're still going to have to deal with this year. To some extent, but kudos to you. Now, how is the league? Well, let me back up, because this is the most important thing, I think. How are players selected and assigned to teams? How many per roster? And what will you mention some schools, but what kinds of schools are represented from the spectrum that's out there?
Sure, absolutely. We generally start signing at the beginning of August. So we've been signing now for about 2.5 weeks. We generally get a lot of the same programs that send us players every single year. So at this point in time, the college programs will start reaching out to us, and they know the quality of the league, they know the level of the league, and they have a pretty much a target idea of who they want to send here. So schools like that you can generally see on the rosters here are LSU, Florida Atlantic, Florida Gulf Coast, Florida International University, University of Miami, Vanderbilt, Florida State. We also get a lot of support from Jacksonville University and a lot of the Sunshine State Conference Division II schools as well, which are very, you know, the most competitive Division II schools in the country. Now, analytically, we actually break down our rosters at the end of every single season, just to get an idea of really where our guys are coming from. So I actually have that roster or that graphic pulled up. And in 2021, we attracted 407 players, 54% were Division One, 18% were Division Two, 3% were Division Three, 7% NAIA, and 72% junior college. The top five conferences that sent us players, the number one was Conference USA. The ASUN and SEC were tied at two. The Northeast Conference was actually third, I guess you'd say. And the Atlantic Coast Conference, known as the ACC, was number five. And the top five schools that were represented were Florida Atlantic University, Fairleigh Dickinson University, Florida International University, Florida Gulf Coast, and the University of Miami. And on top of that, we attracted players from 36 different U.S. states and five different countries. So we're drawing from all over the, not only the country, but North America. And it's just amazing to see all these guys come together and compete for a common goal.
Sure. It's good to get them together. They create such good friendships and bonds that are lifelong.
Absolutely. 100%.
So what can a player expect when he arrives in Southern Florida? How's his summer going to look? Does he have any time to hit the South Beach, the Keys, the Everglades?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually do some team trips, and those are coordinated and organized. So annually we do a Florida Keys fishing trip, which is an absolute blast. So we bring all the kids down that would like to come and that don't get seasick.
That's huge. That's amazing.
We go out fishing, and we actually literally catch the fish and cook it within an hour of being back on the shore. And we all go to a restaurant after on the water and watch the fireworks. That's on July 4th every year we do that. So that's a really great trip that we do, and the kids love it. We've been doing that trip for 10 years, and we have some amazing pictures and videos, and it's a great time, man. And the food is amazing because the fish is so fresh. Schedule-wise, we play a 44-game schedule. So generally, an average week is going to be a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, single games, Saturday doubleheaders, Sundays, like we like to give them off days so that they can go to the beach and relax and recover. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have organized strength training in the mornings. And depending on how the schedule that week lines up, more than likely they would have a game at night. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the players in the morning are following their strength program. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're actually with our strength and conditioning coaches. And on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they're following the program that they're basically doing.
Yeah, that sounds outstanding. That is something that a lot of the other leagues do not have. You're basically on your own. They have, I think some of the other schools or some of the other leagues have alliances with the local gyms, but to have an actual strength trainer and a program that everyone could go on to continue their development is crucial, which really is why I consider you one of the superior college leagues to get involved with. Now, how is it structured from a logistics standpoint? How is lodging currently being handled, travel, and then costs to players?
Sure. So everything is, you know, the league is a charity organization. So each team is owned individually by individual owners and are simply and merely members of the not-for-profit. So it varies by team, but we do have standards that they need to be followed, which, like I said, the strength program, the nutrition staff, medical care. More or less, the lodging, there are several different options a player can utilize. We have the Marriott vacation condos for the players. So if the player would like to stay in a Marriott with his teammates, these are separate multi-bedroom units with full kitchens. It comes with a seven-day meal plan that's specially prepared by the hotel. That's an option. Some of the teams do Airbnbs and rent houses, which has been a more popular option as of lately. You've seen a lot of the teams do that. And some teams still do host families, even through COVID. You know, host families were something that you would think, in being in South Florida, that, you know, there's 8 million people, that there would be an influx of people. But, you know, it's a little different. We're not in a town of 20,000 people here out in the middle of nowhere where, you know, it's like Mayberry. So, you know, a lot of the host families that we do get aren't just random families. We really go through the local little leagues to make sure that the families and the kids are going to be safe. It's just 2021. Unfortunately, these are this is what you have to do, especially when you're taking the liability of, you know, NCAA baseball players in your hands and you're responsible for. So it's a grand combination of those three, but I generally like guys to stay in the Marriott vacation condos. And it's simply because of safety and because of convenience. You have everybody really in one area. The Marriott in Boca Raton that we house the players at, it's centrally located. It's 10 to 15 to 20 minute drive to every single field. So it's very convenient and it's clean. It's very, you know, we know what to expect. You're not dealing with a landlord. You're dealing with a corporate company and a corporate entity that is going to stand by their product of luxury living.
What are the costs to the players?
So it varies. Some teams don't charge anything in the league here. Some teams charge up to $1,250. I would say the average is $500 for a player fee. But as mentioned, some teams do charge and some teams don't. The teams that don't charge are really reliantly heavy on donations and sponsorships every year to make that happen. It varies. And it's really up to the structure of how the team owner wants to structure it. But the average, like I said, is around $500.
Which makes sense. And it's still a bargain. It's actually beyond a bargain. That's actually a huge opportunity that someone needs to seize, because that's chump change, quite frankly.
At the end of the day, you know, for spending 2 months in Florida, I mean, it's incredible, and getting everything that you get.
100%. Well, let's talk about the coaches, the development and the opportunity that you guys provide players from June to July. You mentioned that there are professional recruiters there, obviously. What makes up your coaching staff? How do you find a coach, or what is the criteria that goes into finding coaches?
So
that's a crucial aspect of it.
Absolutely. 100%. I would say that Southern California and South Florida are very similar, where we have a very, very rich alumni of retired major leaguers and professional players. They're both of the hottest, you know, talent places in the country. So, and with colleges as well. So the majority of our coaches, well, first off, let me back up and say that there are requirements to be a coach in this league. You must have playing or college coaching experience at the collegiate or professional level. If you have not played at that higher level, you cannot coach here. The majority of the coaches in this league are local college coaches. The other part are guys that are retired major leaguers. Guys that I could throw out there for you would be Alex Fernandez, World Series with the Florida Marlins at the time.
Pitcher.
Yes. Very good one. Doug Jennings, who was actually at the 1989 World Series with the Oakland Athletics. Joe Gray, former 10-year major leaguer. He's the pitching coach for the Ducks. Bo McMillan with the Marlins. I mean, I could keep going on and on, but the majority of the guys have that higher level professional major league or current college coaches. And we want to make sure that when Auburn or LSU or Santa Clara, for instance, sends us a player, that they're going to be in good hands. It's important, you know, having a feel for the game and making sure that not only these guys are going to get better, that they're going to stay healthy is very important, because you hear horror stories about guys getting sent out and, you know, they're throwing 100 pitches in the first like couple weeks that they're there. It's just insane. It's summer baseball. And alluding to that fact, we also have a pitch count rule here in the league, and guys are not allowed to throw over 90 pitches in a game. So we make sure that the coaches here are professional and are going to get the players better.
Which is crucial and the whole reason for being there to begin with. Let's talk about partnership opportunities. How does the league generate revenue? Now, you mentioned that each team is individually owned, but I'm sure you're looking for certain kinds of partners. And what would those partners look like? Would it be some of the big equipment companies, anybody who's really related to the baseball game, so to speak?
Sure. Yeah. Some of our larger partners at the league level. Now, like as mentioned, the teams do their own advertising sales and sponsorship sales. It's very similar structure to Major League Baseball, is in the sense is that at the league level, we do retain sponsors, we do retain donors, we get grants. And then at the individual team level, people are allowed to sell their ballparks like the Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. Some of our partners would include Palm Beach County and the state of Florida. We get a grant, and we're very gracious to the county and to Governor Ron DeSantis for supporting the mission that we have here.
Fantastic.
The other one of the other groups that have is Dovetail Bats. They're the main sponsor for the league for a bat company, and the product is incredible. I mean, we had been with Marucci for the last 6 years, and we were very concerned about going to a smaller company off the bat. And I can tell you, these bats that Dovetail had were incredible. They blew away my expectations. Definitely something to check out on your end. I don't know if they're out there on the West Coast too much, but the bats are used by like Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. I think Jeff's on the Giants out that way. I'm not sure. But the bats were incredible. So they're a donor of ours. And then other national brands would be like a Rawlings. They help us out as well. And at the local league level, a lot of the sponsors are area and regional businesses.
Sure. Restaurants and such. And
you know, restaurants really backed off this year and traditionally had been there for the last decade with us, but sure. you can't expect you know, these guys that had really gotten hit hard to fork out money. You know, we saw a lot of our sponsorship demographics change this year. A lot of medical field, a lot of law was really the gist of where our sponsorship money came from, just because I think a lot of people during this pandemic benefited. And then there was people that got really crushed and the restaurants got hit heavy.
Back to the bats, because that's a pretty important implement in the player's tool chest. Are they supplied by the league, by Dovetail? Do they?
Not only are they supplied, they're customized.
No kidding.
So, oh yeah, these bats look incredible, man. They're team colors. I mean, kids can get their names engraved on them. I actually can send you some images of what we have and what they look like. But those guys, they blew away our expectations, and all the kids in the league had and swung those bats.
Do they have? Obviously they have maple. Do they have ash as well?
Yeah. Now the one thing too about these bats that we use is that they are major league stamped bats. These are major league approved bats. It's not like you're pulling an ash or a maple bat off the rack at Dick's Sporting Goods. Right. You know, these are major league stamped bats that range from $150 to $200 a bat, and the kids are getting them for free.
Yeah,
the deal is incredible. We had a catcher from the University of Miami on the Blazers, and he used the entire bat, the same bat, the entire summer, did not break it once. That's incredible. It's unheard of.
Let me ask you a question about let's get back to the overall cost. So it'd be, let's say it's, by the way, if a bat costs about $150, and let's say you go through two of them, that pretty much covers your cost of getting into the league. You get the bats as a compensation, right?
Sure.
It's a pretty good deal. But staying in the Marriott, what does that run?
That runs $995. That includes the meal plan and the housing for the 2 months.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable price. It's really, you've piqued my interest even more now. Hey, how can interested parties, coaches, players, and sponsors get in touch with you? What's your best contact?
Sure. Vince at SouthFloridaCollegiateLeague.com is my email address. Our information is readily available on the league website, SouthFloridaCollegiateLeague.com. We have a very strong social media presence and a pretty big following on Twitter and Instagram. The handle is SFCBL_official. And I think one of the other things too that we do is that, given my background of scouting and player evaluation, is that a lot of this content that we post on our social media channels is really promoting the players at a professional level. So if you go on our social medias, you're going to see 100 mile an hour plus fastballs. You're going to see me even breaking down a prospect. And the content is really neat. And we really pride ourselves in that, because a lot of summer collegiate leagues, you know, the people that are behind actually the leagues, they don't have the playing or the scouting experience that we have. So when we actually tweet out a player or something, we break them down. And stay tuned, because our top 20 MLB draft prospects with all the reports and breakdowns will be coming out within the next several weeks as well.
I'll be looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, it's great, man. We have some really talented players here and a really rich alumni of major leaguers that have played here. Now, the person that most gets talked about recently is Cedric Mullins, the starting center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. Now, he played for the Boca Raton Blazers, was an all-star here, and now is a major league all-star starter, which it comes full circle. And he's an incredible kid. And I was actually his GM and really enjoyed being around him. So you see a lot of our guys that, you know, end up playing here and end up going to play on TV. And it's just incredibly rewarding to help these kids along their paths.
It sounds like a great organization. It's something I did some research into. I know that when our Hamptons thing fell through, I took a peek at it, but I realized you guys already were fully stocked with players, which is unfortunate. But I did make a note to, you know, take a look at it for next year. I wanted to thank you so much for joining us today, and continued success to the South Florida Collegiate Baseball League moving forward.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you for having me today and getting us out to the West Coast. We stretched far in 2021. We had two kids from the University of Hawaii, and we've been getting a lot more support out on the West Coast. So we really sincerely appreciate it.
That would have been Kevin Taylor.
Yep. Kevin Taylor and Lincoln Oriana.
Kevin went to our high school, as did
as did
Christian Yelich and Matt Franco, a lot of guys.
That whole area is a very big hotbed.
Well, we might be able to get you some more players. Now, we've got the whole WCC that obviously has not sent anybody, Pepperdine, and there's some good schools. And I think Santa
actually,
Clara,
yeah, we actually had a kid from Pepperdine last year.
Did you?
Bailey Uteritz. He's a Florida kid that went out to Pepperdine.
Okay.
And we actually, is San Diego State in the West Coast Conference?
San Diego State is not in the West Coast Conference. No.
Okay. We had a left-handed pitcher from them this year too.
Okay.
A lot of the guys that we get that from the West Coast are guys that live here, but I think Californians love playing out here. And, you know, those guys from Hawaii that were from Southern California as well, loved it. It was a great experience for them.
Well, they still have a little time to obviously put it all together and contact you, right? I'm sure there's.
Yeah. We're starting right now. We're about halfway full, believe it or not, already recruiting.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you can count on two kids from Santa Clara right this minute.
That'd be amazing.
Well, that's all for today. Thanks again, Vince. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
I'm Kelly Kleinman, and that was the Prospect Blueprint. Like, comment, share, subscribe. But most of all, believe in yourself. Take care.